This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name.
Well, good man, and welcome to Lake Community Church's member Bible study. We're in Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11, starting verse 25, and we're going to go through the end of the chapter. The rest of this chapter, it named the unclean foods, and then it begins to name what you do with items that touch the unclean food. It begins to nail down some of the reptiles that are unclean, and then it talks about what do you do when you touch a carcass or a dead animal that's unclean. In very little, you dive off into the clean and unclean idea. And in that regard, this passage is a very important passage as far as understanding what God's trying to teach them, what God is relating them to, as far as a understanding of how we relate to Him personally ourselves, and that is His holiness. And it means, really, in every way I've ever, when I was studying the Bible, ever thought about it, whenever I came across a passage that dealt with clean and unclean, I always thought holy and unholy. And that really is the understanding idea that comes from these passages. And it is one of those understandings that had an Old Testament context, and then when it's brought into the New Testament, we understand it in its fullness in Jesus Christ, in that we understand God's love toward us, and that God desires for us to be in His presence and to be holy rather than to be unholy. And unholy is anything that's not God, and holy is anything that is God. But for them, in the wilderness here, God is giving them an understanding about being clean and unclean based off of the animals they eat, the animals they're around, the food they're around, and some of the practices that they have. And we're gonna deal with that tomorrow as far as some of the practices as far as making women unclean in childbirth and unclean in their monthly cycles. And the reason for that is, if you want to know the truth, the reason for that is to separate men from women when women are most vulnerable to infection. And God has dual purposes in his teachings for that. But that being said, that doesn't change the overarching understandings that we're trying to gain from the Old Testament as we study through the Old Testament. We're trying to gain those overarching understandings, those overarching pictures that God has given us so that they can teach us, so that they can give us guidance, so that they can give us understandings about the New Testament gospel, and in light of God's complete work in creation. Verse 25, he says, whoever picks up one of these carcasses must wash their clothes, or they'll be unclean till evening. Notice, there's a time period of being unclean. There is a time for being separated, being set apart. And so he says, every animal that does not have a divided hoof or does not chew the cud is unclean for you. Whoever touches the carcass of any of them will be unclean. Of all the animals that walk on all fours, these that walk on paws are unclean for you. Whoever touches their carcass, and mainly paws are animals that are carnivores, lions, tigers, bears. Oh my! Anyway, those are the animals that are unclean. And notice, he's not saying if you touch a live animal, you're unclean. He's saying, even if you touch the little body of an animal like this, you're unclean. And anyone who picks up the carcass must wash their clothes, or they will be unclean till evening. These animals are unclean for you. Notice God's saying, don't touch these things. And you go, I don't really get there. What he's saying is, don't touch that which is unholy. If you want to have relationship with me, if you are right with me in fullness, don't reach out and touch that which is unholy. Don't touch that which is not me. And this is the clear overarching picture of cleanliness and uncleanliness. It is the overarching picture of why Jesus has to struggle with the Pharisees, because they are caught up in the law rather than understanding the principles of the law. And that's why Jesus gives them the whole story of the Good Samaritan, because two religious people passed him by. And the reason they did not help the man that was beaten by the robbers is because if they'd have touched him in the state he was in, they would have been unclean. And God wants them to understand cleanliness and uncleanliness. He wants them to understand holiness and unholiness. But he needs them to understand in the full context of his character. And his character, ultimately, when it deals with human beings, is love, the best interest. What is best? Now, it's not best that they be unclean or unholy. That's not the answer we get. Oftentimes, when we say, this person's doing that, but I don't really hurt their feelings, what you're saying is, I don't really make them holy. I just gonna leave them because I don't really be uncomfortable in the idea. That's not love either. But in the other direction, as you think about it, if a person is involved in that which is unclean, I need to love them out of that, which means I'm going to have to reach into, I'm going to have to be in the world, but not of the world, and I'm going to pull them out, which means I have to reach out there and touch and deal with that which is unclean. And that's why when Jesus was washing Peter's feet, he said, you need your feet washed. Why? Because your feet is what goes out into the world. And we've got to be in the world. We don't have to be of the world, but we have to be in the world, and which means we're going to have to touch that which is in many ways unholy, but we're not touching them with unholy hands. We're touching them with holy hands and bringing them, trying to help them out of their, well, and they're not godliness. They're not in God's will and God's purpose. We have to reach out and grab them and pull them in. The struggle with this whole idea of clean and unclean is a difficult one and really something you get through and think about. He says, of all the animals that move around the ground, these are unclean for you. The weasel, the rat, the grand lizard, the gecko, the pterogecko. But the gecko was unclean. Did y'all know that? I didn't know that. He says, the monitor lizard, the wild lizard, the squeak, and the chameleon. All of those that move along the ground, belly stokes the ground, they're unclean. When one of them dies and falls on something, or falls on an article, whatever it's used, it will be unclean, whether it's made wood, cloth, hide, sack. Even if the lizard, you didn't touch the lizard, but the lizard died and fell on your stuff. If the carcass touches it, it's unclean. And if it falls on a clay pot, then it's unclean. One of the mission trips I went on, we were in a building that the way they fed the water for washing, for baths, was a big cistern on top. It's just a giant holding tank. And rainwater, they'd either put the water in it or there'd be rainwater in it. And about midway through the week, it ran out of water. So we were going to have to go up there on the roof or the hose and fill it up. And when we got up there, there was a giant dead monitor lizard up there. And so the women who had been taking baths week had been taking baths of monitor lizard water. That made them unclean. They were unclean. And let me tell you something. They felt unclean. They let me know, as the leader of the mission trip, that was unacceptable that they washed in lizard water. And for me, I was really understanding and hurt for them. Deep inside, it was funny. And I don't care who you are, that's funny. He said, any of the food that you're allowed to eat that is coming into contact with water from any such pot is unclean. They were fairly unclean because they were washing in that giant lizard water. Anything that one of the carcasses falls on and becomes unclean. An oven or a cooking pot must be broken up. They're unclean. A spring, however, or cistern for collecting water remains clean. Now, the cistern for collecting water was clean. The water wasn't clean. We could go up there and put water in it, and they could completely take baths once we got the lizard out, but because the cistern was fine, but the water was not unclean. If the carcass falls on any seeds that are to be planted, they remain clean. But notice, anything that has to do with life, if it touches life, it's clean. If it touches something that's not alive, water, seed, those are pictures of life. If it touches something that's alive, it's clean. But if it touches something that's not alive, it's unclean. Now, that getting that right there is one of those things you just got to pick up and think about. It's one of those things you got to, as we can eat the cane now, once you got to chew the cud on that one, you got to chew that for a little while and think about it. What he's saying is, if it's unclean and you touch it with life, the land still remains life. It still remains clean. But if you touch it with the world, the things you have in the world, then those things become unclean, even though they're part of what you are. When those men passed by the beaten man on the road, they didn't touch him with life, or if what it was the love your neighbor as yourself. And could they have done that and remain clean? Well, in a purely theological understanding of Scripture, yeah, they could touch him and remain unclean if they touched him with love, with their life. And what does the Samaritan do? He does. And God said, which one loved his neighbor? And it was obviously the Samaritan. If you're an animal that you are allowed to eat dies, anyone who touches his carcass will be unclean till evening. Now notice, God's telling them, even we clean animals, if they die, meaning you didn't kill them, they died, you're not supposed to touch them. Why? This is all about those pictures of clean and unclean, also pictures of sin and death. And oftentimes I tell people that there are different symbols of death that God gives us, even in the way he's made the world. Some of our illnesses that we have that come from the inside, that's like cancer. In my opinion, cancer is a perfect picture of the sin of our life, how it gets in there and a cell stops becoming or doing what it's supposed to be doing, then just reproduces and forms a tumor, and then eventually that tumor kills you. That's a picture of sin in our lives, where some aspect of our lives is not being used for God's purpose, and then it develops a tumor, and that tumor eventually kills you. That's a beautiful picture of how sin gets in. Then you've got the sin of infection, and what is that? You've got bacteria or viruses that we get from the outside, and it comes in and it causes damage, or it makes us sick, or sometimes it even kills us. We know that from recent experiences. Viruses can kill you. Bacteria infections can kill you, which is a picture of the sin of the world coming in and killing us. And so how are we battling against sin? We're battling against the inward sin of our own heart, and we're battling against the outward sin of the world, and we're trying to remain what? We're trying to remain holy. We're clean, and that's a picture here. So what he's saying is, if an animal dies, you know what it died from. You didn't butcher it for whatever reason. It just of its own volition just died. You don't know what it is, so don't touch it. Why? Because it's unclean. Anyone who eats some of the carcass must wash their clothes, and they will be unclean till evening. Anyone who picks up the carcass must wash their clothes, and they will be unclean till evening. Why? Because there's bacteria on there, there's infection on there, maybe, perhaps. And God didn't want his people to be touching those things. Every creature that lives along the ground to be regarded as unclean is not to be eaten. They're to eat any creature that moves along the ground, whether it moves on its belly or rats on all fours or on many feet, it is unclean. Do not defile yourself by any of these creatures. Do not make yourself unclean by means of them, to be made unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy. Notice, we're finally getting to where he's trying to get them to understand, okay, Evan's animals are unclean. And what does that relate to? How does that correlate? It correlates to what? My holiness, because I am holy. Do not make yourself unclean or unholy. That's the correlation here. Any creature that moves along the ground. I am the Lord who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. Therefore, be holy because I am holy. And you've heard that before. That's right there in the middle of the book of Leviticus. There's one of those verses. Be holy as I am holy. And that's the whole purpose of these cleanliness laws. God's giving them pictures within the world of how to understand holiness and unholiness. And they're there. That's the understanding that we get from this. He says, 46, these are the regulations concerning animals, birds, and every living thing that moves about in the water, and every creature that moves along the ground. You must distinguish between the clean, unclean, and the clean. Remember, we can just translate, we can just transpose those words in there. You can distinguish between the unholy and the holy, between living creatures that may be eaten and those who may be not eaten, meaning those things that which you can be a part of, you can touch, and those things which you can't touch. And wow, you get out of the written limb and you realize, oh, this whole thing about this, these animals and food and carcasses and touching things is all about the holiness of God. And it is. That's the whole point of it. And you go, why did the Jews have to do this for so long? Because you've been trying to do holy and unholy for just a very short period of time. How you do it? It's not easy. It's not easy. And understanding that we can touch things with life and make it alive. But remember, I got to go in with a pure life perspective and a pure life desire to make things right. And if I don't do that, if I don't do it with life, I touch death, and death is, it's like that oil when you get it on your hands, you just can't get it off the gas when you're putting it in your car and it spills out on you, you can't get the smell off. It, that's what unholiness is, and that's what cleanliness is. And God says we need to know the difference, and we need to know how to deal with it. And we need to be cognizant of that in our everyday life. And he taught the Jews to do that. He taught the Jews to consider everything that was going on around them, to be cognizant of what's going on in your life and what's going on each and every day around you and how things are working out. And God says, You get to choose. You get to decide to be holy as I am holy. And really, that's the key verse of this whole chapter, is therefore be holy, verse 45, because I am holy. That surely, that Bible study is not going, this Bible study right now is not going to get you all the way there. Maybe it will pique your interest in trying to think about it and figure it out, considering, am I touching the world with life, or am I just continually picking up unclean things, and those things are making me unholy? If that's the case, then maybe you need to reorient how you do things. And if you do that properly, maybe you will begin to not only know life, but you will be life to others.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.